Good morning.
And a quiet falls over the crowd.
Shh.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you guys coming. Appreciate you being here at 10 o'clock in the morning, too. This is the Future of Corporate Blogging panel. And the panelists for today are, to my left, is Cami Hoyza. She is the principal at MyPR Pro. She also blogs at Communication Overtones. Next to her is Mario Sundar. He's the community evangelist at LinkedIn. And he also blogs at LinkedIn's blog. It's blog.linkedin.com. At the end of the panel is Lionel Menchaca. He's the chief blogger at Dell. And their blog is directtodell.com. So let me give you a brief overview of what we want to talk about. We want to hit on 3 points. Mainly, first is I want to bring Mario and Lionel, let them kind of bring you up to date as far as what their blogs have done, what their companies, LinkedIn and Dell, just get you up to speed on where they're at. And then Cami is going to bring us in and kind of give us an overview of if another company wants to do what these companies have done, then what they need to do to get there. And then after that, we're going to go to and we're just going to kind of go from the customer's point of view, if look at what's just kind of bring the customer's point of view and look at it from their point of view and what they're looking for and what they're wanting to get out of social media and kind of meet how you can meet their expectations with these tools. And finally, we're going to get to the future and we're going to look at what's coming up after blogging and what these tools are going to be and what we're going to use after blogging. And just our blog's going to be more or less relevant in the future is what's going to happen. So let's go ahead and get started. Lionel, if you can start us off, just kind of bring us up to speed on where, kind of start at where Dell is right now, sure. How you got to that point, and how y'all decided to start blogging.
All right, well, put it in perspective, from a direct to Dell standpoint, we're right now at about 1 million page views a week, quite a bit of a following, and we've had the blog up and running now for about a year and a half, and it really started about 2 years ago, in April of 2006. Michael Dell himself, came to my VP, Bob Pearson, and Michael said, "Why aren't we finding people in the blogosphere that are blogging about Dell problems?" And matching them up with tech support people who can help, and so Bob came to me. I've been at Dell for 15 years, and the first part of my career was in tech support. So I did hardware support for 2 years, and OS support for a year after that. So my task at that point was to figure out how do we monitor the blogosphere, how do we get that part done, and then secondly, how do we how do we bring support into the blogosphere? We started out modestly, started looking in Technorati. To minimize the scope, we looked at blogs of a lot of authority. And, quickly, started ramping that up and monitoring a bigger and bigger part of the blogosphere. And, out of that listening, what we found, there was a lot of negativity out there. And at the low point in 2006, about 48% of the commentary about Dell was negative. So we figured out how do we go about supporting customers if it's a one-to-one relationship on a blog versus several hundred people on a message board outside of our properties. So we worked through that process, and that led to a broader social media plan. And for us at least, a blog made a lot of sense. At that point, we knew after several months of listening, we knew what the core issues were. We knew what we needed to address, and we needed to have a tool that would open up a two-way dialogue. And that's why we chose to launch with a blog. And when it was time for us to launch, Bob came to me and asked if I would, if I'd be up to doing it. And, my response was, I'd love this job, but I want to be able to do it the right way. And blogging the right way to me means, blogging about all the issues that our customers are talking about, whether those are positive or negative. And, from that point on, I've had very good support from Michael Dell, from my management, you know, from everyone else that you know, that would have a concern about what's being said. Everybody's been very supportive and, you know, have allowed us to have open conversations, and that's really what's been key. You know, I think, you know, having the blog and getting the conversation going with it has led to other things like IdeaStorm, which I'll talk more about later on. But, you know, for us, you know, the objective behind all of these things is to give, you know, give our customers a voice, give them tools to, you know, to allow them to have influence over what we do and how we act as a corporation.
Okay, and Mario, if you could kind of give us the same thing, because I know that LinkedIn is really, the traffic has really been up in the last year, and you've got a lot of good press, and there's a lot of good publicity about it now. Just kind of walk us through, similar to what Lyle did, just where, what y'all's thinking is right now as far as blogging.
Definitely. Now, that is definitely a tough act to follow, what Dell has been able to do, and the way they have actually converted people's brand perception about Dell itself using social media such as a blog. So I'm Mario Sundar. I'm the community evangelist at LinkedIn, and I know that many times people ask me, so what exactly does a community evangelist do? And the basic idea here is listening to what users are talking about with regards to your product or features as far as LinkedIn is concerned, and then trying to get them, I mean, letting them know what exactly the situation is, whether you can actually have those feature updates or product releases, as opposed, or if not, it's getting back to the user and saying, this is why this is not possible. And that's exactly where I come into the picture as far as LinkedIn and its corporate blog are concerned. I was hired, it's not been a year yet, but I was hired almost a year ago for the purpose of starting the blog and managing LinkedIn's social media strategy. And it's been a good 8 months since we started the blog, and the response has been pretty good from the users themselves. When I started off at LinkedIn, there were two main sources for users to get either their questions answered or to provide feedback. One of them was Yahoo Groups. There were a bunch of groups on Yahoo. And the second was LinkedIn Answers. Now, when you start a corporate blog, there are a lot of questions as to, first, you should ask yourself and the organization, are you ready for it? And more importantly, you got to ask yourself, is it really worthwhile? So if you're an online company, if you're a Web 2.0 company, it's pretty obvious that a blog is something that is considered mandatory, and it definitely is useful because most of your users are online, they are tech savvy, and it makes a lot of sense. So for LinkedIn to start a blog, it was kind of a no-brainer. What was interesting is when we started off, one of the questions that we asked ourselves is, do we allow comments or not? And that may seem a silly question, and you know, based on what Lionel and his team have done at Dell, it's obvious that comments should be allowed. That's the main purpose of having a blog itself. And within LinkedIn, we had a consensus that that is definitely necessary. But the interesting part is, as far as corporate blogs are concerned, the evolution is not complete yet. If you notice, even sites like Google, for example, do have corporate blogs, but they don't allow comments. And so it's interesting to see where we are and put it in the right perspective. So at LinkedIn, we did start the blog. The traffic has been growing both for LinkedIn as well as the interest in LinkedIn is growing. The blog has been growing, getting a lot of interest as well. So some of the goals that we were looking for when we started, there were roughly three goals. Primarily, we did want to have this two-way conversation with our users. And user education was like the primary goal when we started the blog. So I know that Cammy will probably talk a little bit more about objectives and metrics. But for example, on LinkedIn, and I'm speaking specific to this particular site, there are a lot of questions about, okay, I'm on LinkedIn, what are the different, how can I maximize usage of LinkedIn? And so the goal of the blog is basically to help answer that question to different categories of users on LinkedIn. And the result, the way we do it is probably using product demos, as well as talking to users about how they use LinkedIn, what are the finer aspects of LinkedIn that they appreciate a lot, and we bring that out into the blog. So this is one example, and I know that we'll be talking about a bunch more through the conversation, but that's where we are. It's almost a year, and it's been good going.
And Cammy, I think Dell and LinkedIn, they're two really good examples of a corporate blog. But I think a lot of companies, they're wanting to get started, but they see what Dell and LinkedIn are doing, they have no idea how to replicate it. How would they get started? How would they determine their objectives, and how would they measure their efforts?
First of all, these are really great case studies, and that's why we have them here. Mario and Lionel here to talk about them. But certainly, what the first thing that they said, if you listen to what they were saying, is that they found out there was a problem, and they needed to solve it, and they needed to solve it with communication. And it wasn't about solving it with a blog. The blog just happened to be the right vehicle to solve the problem. So what all companies need to do is sit around and have a very serious conversation about where is the community that you're trying to reach. Are they online? I mean, you may be in a company where they're not, probably at this conference, no, but generally speaking, you need to find out where are those communities out there that you are trying to reach as a company. And then you have to ask yourself, where is the community? What tool are they using? Are they going to read your blog? Are they in Facebook? Are they in Yahoo groups, like Mario said that some of his were? Where are you going to engage them? And then, what do they need? I think that's really important to ask, because it's not about you, it's about them. So the question is, what does my community need from my company? And you have the interests of the company and the interest of the community. And where these two intersect, that is the sweet spot. That is the place where you want to engage, the place that is a win-win for both of you. So that's the conversations you need to have, and it sounds somewhat easy, but as Lionel and Mario can tell you, they've sat around tables trying to figure this out, and still are trying to figure this out, I think. So that intersection is what we want to look for. And then when you do find out what you're going to use. Okay, we're going to use a blog, or we're going to have a Facebook group, or we're going to put up a Twitter channel, or maybe we'll send out a couple of our employees to Twitter and to start engaging with the community because that's where they live, whatever it is. Then you need to decide, okay, how are we going to measure this? And that's where we have all the struggle and controversy, because people say, oh, you can't measure relationships, but I'm here to tell you, you can. There's a couple of things you might want to consider whenever you're looking how to measure if you're moving the needle. And the first thing is, what would you consider a success? So you have to ask your boss and your group, hey, if we engage in this, what do you want to get out of it? I mean, what do you want us to do? So that's first. And then second, you also need to look at your competition, and we barely ever talk about this, but you need another way to measure yourself is you can benchmark yourself against your competition. So, you know, if you had 100 mentions last month, that's great, but, you know, if your competition had 5,000, like, you know, Dell, and then there's tonality. What were the mentions like? Were they negative? Were they positive? Dell's kind of moving toward that as their main metric, I think, as far as tonality, like in the blogosphere. And that's fine. That works really well for what they are trying to accomplish. So there's engagement. You can measure engagement. And that, of course, we can have a fight over what engagement means. But there's analytics. There's great programs out there, and we'll talk about the tools later. You can look at your subscriptions to your blog or to your Twitter channels or to your Facebook page. You can look at your comments, the tonality of those comments. Are they positive? Are they negative? The comments to the number of posts on a blog. That's a great measure. You can look at sales. Of course, that's the big, you know, thing that everybody wants to do is look at sales. You can look at conversion tracking. There's great programs that you can follow with that. And also, let's go back to low tech. How about a survey question upon the sale? Where did you hear about this? How did you come to us? So that's another thing. And then as far as measuring relationships, Jim Grunig and Linda Childs-Hahn did a study, and they did it for PR, and it really isn't a techie thing. It's a paper, and they came up with 6 measures of measuring a relationship, and you can do it through a survey. We did set up a link for this panel because we obviously are not doing scary PowerPoint on Delicious, and Mac will tell you again what it is at the end, but it's on my Delicious account, CamiChat/South by Southwest 2008. SWSX. So you can look at that. But I have a link to this particular survey. And if you could survey your audience once you have a relationship with them and find out where your relationship is, this particular vehicle is a great way for you to start to, it actually helps you make decisions. And that's really the bottom line of the measurement anyway, is that it's really not there to, like, you know, give you big props. What it is it's there to help you make decisions about the relationships that you're forming with your users. All it is a data point. Clearly, the personal relationships are very important, and not all of that can be measured. There's this really great, you know, glow that you get around your community, and some of that can't be measured. But certainly you can see, are we trending in the right direction? Are we doing better than our competition? Are we making those relationships work? So part of doing what these guys have done is actually doing the work, the hard work, of finding out exactly what your community needs, and ask them, what about a focus group, an online focus group? What about those kinds of things? Start being creative about what you're doing with your communities to find out what they want, and then deliver it.
Okay, now let's go back to the customer's point of view, because you guys know I love both your blogs, but to the average customer, they just don't care. And they're interested in how are you going to exceed and meet my expectations. So if you all three can just talk about how you can use all these tools, the blogs, social media, everything together to meet and exceed their expectations. Now, I want to start with Lionel, because I definitely want you to touch on IdeaStorm, because I think that's an example of where we're going.
Sure. Well, you know, our core strategy behind all of our social media efforts really revolve around, you know, a pretty simple framework. And, you know, the first step is listening. You know, the second step is analyzing. And the third step is taking action on that feedback. You know, that's really the model we try to use in any social media outreach that we're doing. You know, and like I mentioned before, the first thing we did 2 years ago was you know, started monitoring the blogosphere. You know, first from a break-fix perspective. You know, so finding customers that were blogging about hardware problems. That quickly led into you know, into other areas where we were looking at blogs where they were talking about, you know, Dell, you know, perceptions on Dell. You know, they may be reacting to Dell news. You know, so that, you know, a lot of cases didn't have anything to do with product. You know, so we had you know, Richard at Dell and John P at Dell and other folks actually weighing in on blogs on that perspective as well, beyond break fix. And you know, with that kind of outreach, you know, between our blog support team and the work that Richard and John were doing, you know, they all use the social media tools that, you know, that bloggers and our customers are using. And, you know, I've done the same thing. I've got a Twitter account, pretty active on Twitter and Facebook. And, you know, that's what all of us try to do is use the same tools and to get out there and to interact as individuals. You know, and that, you know, that is part of it. But the real key piece of the equation is taking action. You know, so what we've done with Direct to Dell and the forum was already established well before, you know, I had launched Direct to Dell. What we've got right now is a series of listening posts. And if you look at you know, the feedback that comes in, we typically will get product issues, you know, anywhere from, you know, from several days to, you know, 3 or 4 weeks before they become call drivers. You know, and you know, the challenge becomes, you know, how are you going to react to that? You know, what are you going to do about it? And that's really the customer expectation. You know, now that we have all these listening posts where people can, you know, can, you know, can share information instantaneously, you know, there is that, you know, that you know, that expectation that we're going to read it and respond very quickly. You know, so that's, you know, that's had a change in how we communicate with our customers on an ongoing basis. It's really accelerated the communication process. And, you know, that kind of set the stage for something like IdeaStorm. And, you know, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, basically IdeaStorm is like a combination between a message board and dig.com. You know, and essentially at IdeaStorm, any user can log in and, you know, can weigh in with an idea, you know, on how Dell can improve our products or services. So it can be any kind of idea that a customer thinks, you know, if Dell did this, you know, I think this would be a real improvement. And then on the flip side, the community itself votes an idea up or down. You know, so the real power behind IdeaStorm and why I'm really passionate about it is it's totally community driven. You know, there's not a Dell body that says, okay, these are the most important ideas. You know, it's really done by the community. You know, so the algorithm looks at, you know, the overall point total is one aspect of it, but it also looks at, you know, the frequency of votes that an idea is getting. So if an idea is getting a lot of votes in a short amount of time, you know, that also has bearing on whether or not it gets up to the front page. And, you know, from an implementation standpoint, we've got a core team that looks at those top ideas and you know, starts to vet those ideas through the business. You know, so I know a lot of people here are probably familiar with what we did with Linux. You know, we launched IdeaStorm, you know, a little over a year ago, and on day one, the most popular idea was to offer Linux for consumers. And what we did is, you know, a few days into that, after we got, you know, that being the top idea, we launched a survey to get more information from customers. And within 8.5 days, we got 100,000 respondents from the Linux community. You know, and you know, it just proved to us that there's a real power in this, and that we're really connecting with people. And you know, this is where I think, you know, I hope we can make more progress in this front, and you know, hope that we can, you know, can take more of the ideas that are coming in and really start to, you know, to implement a higher volume of those ideas. And what it really, you know, boils down to when you look at, you know, at what's going on here, you know, we're really empowering customers to say, hey, you have influence on changing Dell for the better. And you know, it's you know, there's a lot of hard work that goes in on the back end, and like I said, you know, we're doing a lot of work to really streamline the process so we can you know, push a lot more of the ideas through process. So, you know, just to put it in perspective, you know, in a little over a year, we've got 9,000 ideas from the community. You know, so it's a very active site. I think, you know, I was looking at the comments. I think we're up at over 600,000 comments, you know, on IdeaStorm overall. So, you know, what you see is, you know, is the ideas themselves and very active threads, you know, within those ideas of customers talking to each other, you know, Dell folks weighing in on the threads, and it really has built a community. And, you know, like I said, the real power behind it is, you know, since that it is totally community-driven, it really is set up in such a way that a single individual can impact a multi-billion-dollar corporation. And I hope that's where, you know, where we see, you know, more and more companies, you know, turning that around. Because I think when you talk to various companies at different stages in social media, you know, there is this fear about doing it because of all the negativity that may come. And, you know, for us, when we looked at what was going on around us, it was a pretty easy decision. You know, there was a lot of negativity going on out there. We could either sit on the sidelines and do nothing, or we could enter the conversation and have, you know, possibly have some impact. So I mentioned, you know, at the low point last year, we had about 48% of our commentary about Dell was negative in nature. You know, now we're hovering around 20%. You know, so we can't attribute all of that to, you know, to social media. I mean, Dell as a company has been making changes and trying to make improvements. You know, but you know, I can say with relative assurance that, you know, that our social media efforts, you know, have had played a big part in that. And you know, I hope we can accelerate that process and create more examples, you know, where customers are really changing Dell for the better.
And Mario, it's kind of interesting about LinkedIn, because I think a year or so ago there were a lot of people that would look at LinkedIn and say, this site, it looks useful, it looks like I should be able to get some value out of it, but I'm not sure how to do it. And I think you guys really, especially with the blog, did a good job of kind of pointing out the features and bringing in the community and showing them what you can do. Just kind of talk about how y'all solicit ideas and feedback from the community and respond to it.
Sure. Let me start off with a similar pattern with what Lionel described here. I want to start off by talking about a little bit more in detail about what our vision was, what the strategy was, the goals, some of the goals that we had set for ourselves, one of which, as Mac just mentioned, which was the most important, is user education, because a lot of users are still wondering what's the best way to get most out of LinkedIn. And there are different categories of users that we need to satisfy, from C-level executives to recruiters. So let me start off by talking about the vision. The vision, again, this may sound cliched, and it probably is, but we do want to establish that conversation. And we had like different strands or threads of conversations that were going on, and we just wanted to create like a playground of ideas on the LinkedIn blog so users could leave their feedback. And that's how all of it started. So what exactly were the goals that we had? And what were some of the metrics that we used to measure it? And again, still, this is work in progress. It's been less than a year, but a lot will be happening and is continues to happen, not only on LinkedIn's blog, but at most of the corporate blogs that you probably monitor. So the three goals that we basically had, one was, of course, user education. What's the best way to educate users about how to use LinkedIn? And the best way that we thought about doing it was, of course, creating product demos directly crafted from, you know, product managers and engineers who create the feature set for the users. So that I think was the most interesting part of it, because users could now get insight into how exactly the features were created, what were some of the challenges, and what exactly are the benefits of using those features. And we continue to do that, so whenever the releases are out there, you can check out the blog. You'll have specific demos of the products themselves. Second is, again, as I mentioned, and this is something that we need to work on, and I want to talk a little bit about that as well, is customer support. LinkedIn has a customer support team which actually responds to questions from users. The thing is that we are growing that team as fast as LinkedIn is growing. When I joined, we were at like 50 of us, and right now it's like 300. So this has been just less a year or so, a little over a year. So you can understand that there are different goals, there are different challenges for startups versus Fortune 500 companies versus, you know, small to medium-sized businesses. But the fact is that everyone has to come up with an innovative solution that would actually benefit their users, and that's something that LinkedIn is working on right now. So finally, the last part of it is breaking news. Now, one of the things that a blog allows you to do is actually, besides being a competitive necessity in many cases, allows you to lead the conversation as opposed to either following it or try to respond to negative criticism. And this is something that a lot of companies learn the hard way, but it's way better if you are being proactive in getting your true message out there about your features, about what benefits the users can get out of your product set. And this is something that I think is of prime necessity, but it happens. It's more of a long-term strategy as opposed to an immediate benefit that you could get out of it for your company. So that was the second part of it. So rather than get your information about LinkedIn from gossip blogs, you can probably get it directly from LinkedIn when it happens. And we've been effective in that. But again, as I said, there are still areas that we could improve upon. And I'm looking for feedback. So feel free to contact me with any feedback you have on how we could do this better and help benefit the users.
And Cammie, we were talking earlier about a couple of years ago, a corporate blog was fairly cutting edge, but now it's kind of everyone expects it. So what other tools out there, how can they bring all these tools together to form like multiple touch points with the customer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some really good examples of that, obviously, right here on this panel. But part of what we're talking about here is decelerating the time between the problem and the solution. And how do you do that for your customer? And I know that we're all struggling with this. And as far as, you know, corporate blogs being passe, I mean, I guess in the tech community, yes. Obviously, in the rest of the world, not so much. They're still kind of struggling with this. A lot of my clients are corporate customers that aren't in the tech business, so they are, you know, kind of still struggling. But one of the things that they're starting to do, which are baby steps, is to start to engage with the community. And one of the things you can do is work with the community to solve their problems faster. And I think that's where we need to go. And as far as pulling all the tools together, one example, one of my clients, which I will just say is a large marine mammal park. I won't say who, but they had a problem in a forum with diabetes, juvenile diabetes, because they wouldn't let the kids into the park with their juice boxes with the straw on the back, because the straw on the back can choke the dolphins and kill them. And so they were, you know, that's one of their things. They take all the juice boxes out when you come in. Well, they didn't realize there was this juvenile diabetes community that absolutely need those juice boxes. If they're crashing, they must have that sugar immediately. So guess what? They were out there, they were monitoring, they found this forum and this whole thread. They were able to go in and say, well, actually, she went in first with corporate speak, which, whew, anyway, we recovered from that. But anyway, within a week, they had little juice boxes that have a flip top. So now they have a really great premium they can give to somebody when they walk in the door. They don't have to say no, they can give them another option. The dolphins are safe, the kids are safe. They did it in a week. That's social media at work at its best.
Could I just add to that?
Sure.
In terms of the different kinds of media or social media that you could employ, I think it is very important that you help centralize it. The reason what we do with the blog is that we use it as a central feed, so to speak, of all the information that you could get about LinkedIn, the different multimedia streams that you can get. And that's the product demos that we are creating as well as breaking news. But speaking of different kinds of social media, we do have the LinkedIn blog, of course. We do also have a YouTube channel, which is where all the The videos that we create are going to be indexed. And at the same time, I was dabbling, and now I'm a little bit addicted to Twitter because it's very interesting to get feedback from users in real time. And I think that that's something we'll talk about when we go to the future, when you talk about the future of the social media, corporate blogging, is how quickly can you respond to a question from a user. Speaking of Twitter, that definitely helps. And just to give you a couple of examples, this was right after we started the blog, and when I started initially dabbling in Twitter, Steve Rubell, who writes a blog called Micro Persuasion, had an issue with about LinkedIn, where his account accidentally got deleted. And it was no laughing matter because he really responded on Twitter. You know, it wasn't a rant, but it was more like LinkedIn deleted my profile. And so if I wasn't following that on Twitter, we could have generally let that go. And you never know where these PR disasters lead you to. And since I noticed it, I was able to respond to him within an hour. We immediately solved that problem. And I know that for larger companies like Dell, the problems could be bigger. You know, I mean, it could be something that impacts more users. But this is just a small example. And the last thing that I want to add is that, in addition to that, I have a few of my colleagues who are also on Twitter, for example. And they do it just because they're, not that they're evangelists of LinkedIn, but the fact is that they're right there using Twitter as a means to communicate with their users and friends. So if one of their friends has an issue with LinkedIn, they respond to it. And an example is a colleague of mine who's probably here, Steve Gans, and he happened to notice a comment again issues with LinkedIn on Twitter, and he responded to that within like 5 seconds saying, let us know what exactly we can do. He expedited the issue, and it got resolved in, again, probably half an hour or so. So these are things that you can do. It's not just you as an individual, as a corporate mm-hmm. blogger responding, but you also have to particularly change, if it has to, the culture within the organization. And that's another challenge that a lot of, whether it's bloggers or social media consultants face, is that the company culture, the fact that they actually hired me shows that the culture is open and receptive to ideas. But there may be other companies that are not that receptive. And the goal is, if you cannot change that company culture and make all of your colleagues and others respond to requests like I just mentioned right now, then your job is only half done. And the more streams that you have of content, whether it is, you know, video or otherwise, it's going to be definitely better for you. And the quicker you can respond. So tools like Twitter are definitely growing in importance as far as customer support are concerned. And I think it would be moving along that direction.
Yeah, and it's a step-by-step process, too. I mean, you know, these guys are way into the process. So there's baby steps and there's layers. So as you add on the different layers of tools and social media tools, then there becomes another problem, which is managing it all and putting it all together. So, I mean, it depends on where you are. And I don't know, you know, in this audience who we're looking at. But, you know, if you're at the beginning, the middle, or more advanced, there's different problems at every stage. And certainly the whole idea is to go back to the customer-centric model and the idea of incremental release of information, you know, that you don't have to have a fully formed answer before you, mm-hmm. you put it out there. You know, in that forum example I told you, that they told the forum as they went, okay, we're talking about this, and this is what we don't know what we're going to do yet, and next week we're going to come back to you and let you know. And they incrementally release the information, and that's very powerful, and it's not a corporate idea.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that. You know, Mario used some individual examples, and we do a lot of that kind of support with Direct to Dell and our social media outreach as well. But we also deal with issues that, you know, sometimes impact hundreds or even thousands of customers, like with the battery recall or the XPS 700 motherboard exchange was another big issue that we took on because it was important to the community. And, you know, to Cammie's point, you know, the incremental release of information is one thing we've seen. You know, social media has enabled that and actually, you know, I would say required it as well from a customer standpoint. You know, things are different now. When you look at, you know, how things have progressed from years and years ago to phone support being the only way, you know, to us evolving into email support and chat support to where we are now with social media, it's really accelerated the process. You know, so it's enabled our customers to, you know, to share something within seconds of it happening. And we've really, you know, tried to adhere to, you know, to the incremental release of information model that she was just talking about, where, you know, first thing that we start to do is try to see these patterns coming in from, you know, from the forum, from Direct to Dell, from IdeaStorm, from outside in the blogosphere. And as soon as we recognize, you know, we've got a couple of customers, you know, writing about a certain issue, you know, first thing we try to do is to respond wherever the comments are occurring, you know, to say thanks for bringing this to our attention. We will look into this and let you know more. And, you know, at that point, we start to engage our appropriate teams, whether it be engineering, whether it be a product group, or, you know, whatever teams within Dell need to be aware of it. We'll do the analysis work to figure out what is driving the issue. And once we understand it is this component on this notebook or whatever the reality is, then we'll release more information saying we've narrowed it down to this component on this notebook, and we will let you know more as soon as we have the, you know, the details worked out. And finally, you know, that last piece, it can vary. I mean, if it's a simple issue, it can be a day or two. If it's a very complex issue, like the XPS motherboard exchange, we worked on that for probably 5 months as a team to build a program around making that motherboard upgrade program work. You know, so. But throughout that whole process, we use the blog to regularly update our customers, and it's that incremental release of information that really starts to show people we're doing this, you know, for your benefit, and we're really working on your behalf. And when we do that effectively, it's very clear that we change perceptions. And I think that's the real power of social media and interacting directly with your customers, is because there's no buffer there. You know, there's nothing other than, you know, your customer on one end, you know, who may be frustrated in the beginning of the process, you know, and, you know, by the end of it, when you tell them what's happening and what you're doing to address the problem and ultimately fix the problem, you can take a customer that may be very, you know, very negative toward Dell in the beginning to a neutral position, where at least they'll say, you know, before I'd said I'd never buy Dell again, now I'll give you guys another chance. And then, you know, I've seen a lot of customers, you know, make the transition from being in that neutral space to, you know, to very positive. And, you know, once we start to establish real relationships with customers on an ongoing basis, that's when we really start to see the loyalty kick in. You know, and I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, we've seen it time and time again, when you give people a reason to be loyal, you know, it really takes care of itself. And that's really what we try to do in all the interactions that we have, even when it's, you know, when it's something that's not going so well. You know, one of the things I think that has helped us be successful, you know, with social media is, you know, Dell has empowered our employees to apologize. You know, if something is wrong, if we've created a situation that's unfair for our customers, I say I'm sorry. You know, and then we proceed to, you know, to fix whatever the underlying issue is that's causing that. And, you know, I think, you know, there's real power in that it humanizes a big corporation. It humanizes any size company. But, you know, that you know, personal connection is what really drives this forward. And I think, you know, folks like me and Richard and all of the blog outreach team, they're all passionate about what they do. All of the folks that are on the front lines working with customers, we're doing it because it really matters to us. And, you know, and once you start, you know, getting that momentum going within the company, you know, it really starts to, you know, to take people that were skeptical in the beginning, or people that may not have seen the value in having negative conversations out in the open, it really starts to change that mindset. And, you know, like I said, from our standpoint, we were blessed to have the support from Michael Dell. But at the same time, you know, that in itself is one thing, and that enabled us to launch, you know, these tools quickly. But, you know, we still have, you know, multiple layers of the company, and we have, you know, lots of discussions internally about the value of what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve. You know, and some people are you know, very positive toward it. Some people are still, you know, kind of not sure, you know, what it is all about and whether it's worth it. You know, so that's the, you know, that's the thing we're trying to push forward now, is to get more and more people engaged and to see the value in what happens when you engage with a customer properly.
I think, you got time for just one quick thought?
Yeah, quick one.
Quickly. So I just think that what Lionel just mentioned is kind of like the gold standard as far as, you know, how far a corporation could go when it comes to social media and corporate blogging. And definitely blessings from the executive team is really important for that to happen. I just thought I'll quickly add something that we're working on, and this may be of of insight to those who are working on figuring out how best to measure the success of a corporate blog itself. I read this piece a while ago about, it was written by Lee LaFever of Common Craft, about how you could use wikis to actually funnel in or channel in all these different feedback that you're getting from users. Because at LinkedIn, I'm just giving an example of LinkedIn, I'm sure it's the same for most companies, you got users talking on different platforms. You got them on our corporate blog, actually responding, providing feedback. You got them on Yahoo Groups, for example. You got them on, there are users on Facebook, there are users on LinkedIn Answers who are talking about it. So you get a ton of feedback, and it's disparate, and these are different systems, and it sometimes becomes a challenge to figure out how do we exactly measure it. And Lionel was sharing some thoughts about it at Dell. Again, as I said, that's like the gold standard. But at the same time, if you are a small to medium-sized business and you actually want to measure, the best way to do it would be to create a wiki. And this was a very simple idea where you funnel in all these different feedback threads into your wiki, and the wiki is an internal one because you can share that with your either product or engineering teams and have specific threads around topics. So maybe there is a topic about a specific feature at LinkedIn, like LinkedIn News, for example. So have a thread on LinkedIn News. Bring all the feedback that you get from your corporate blog, as well as from Twitter, as well as from LinkedIn Answers, or whatever else it may be, and then assign a tonality, like assign whether it's positive or negative, and provide a link to where you found it from. So it makes it very easy for the product manager or the team to go to that link and then figure out, okay, so this is the problem. How exactly do we solve it? How quickly can we resolve it? I understand that this is a very basic means to do it, but that's definitely a great start, and that's something that we are working on. We're not there yet, and this may be of help to those who are listening.
Okay, now let's talk about the future. And let's talk about, first, corporate blogging. Is it going to continue to grow from here, or is it going to be leveling off, and are there going to be more tools? Like Twitter, I think, has a lot of potential as a customer service tool. Are we going to see more tools replace them? And y'all just kind of quickly give us an update on where you think we're heading in the future, because I want to make sure all these good people have enough time to ask us some questions. So, Mario, if you could start us off.
Sure. So, speaking of, I talked about the different streams of feedback that you're going to receive, right? And I think the one thing that's definitely going to happen that is evolving over time is the speed of feedback. How quickly can you respond to your customers? And so, again, as he was talking, it may have been email support, there may have been phone call support in the past. Right now, you got corporate blog support, which takes a while, but Dell is doing a great job of expediting that. It could be Twitter, which is, again, as I said, it was in seconds you respond to the user because that's real time. And then you could actually go back and resolve it, again, using incremental releases. Or the other thing that I was thinking about, and this has probably not happened yet, right now there are a lot of live streaming sites coming up, and it's become very easy and inexpensive for you to set up a live stream. And imagine having your customer support team live streaming their responses to the users. Again, it's real time you're talking about. So maybe you open up all your customer support teams to directly respond to users. So it's going to be like it's a live feed. And I know that it's going to be more useful for some companies versus the others. So again, you got to go back and ask yourself the question, what serves my purpose better? How can I serve the users better? And then depending on that, you pick the tools that are at your disposal. And I think that moving forward, the one thing that's definitely going to happen besides change is that it's going to be quicker response, and what are the tools that are going to enable that quick response to your users in resolving it.
And I also think that blogs are going to be a platform for all this. I don't think blogs are going to go away. I think that they're just going to become more rich experiences for the customer. And you're going to have, it's going to be your home base. It's going to be a place where they can touch. But then there's going to be, it's going to tie all the disparate things together for your customer. I think customer expectations are changing. So I think the future is the customer is going to expect more as we give more. So there's going to be an acceleration of the expectation. There already is. I don't think that's going to change. I think that's only going to intensify, that people will expect you, like if they blog about you, they're going to expect you to be there. And it's already starting. I've seen it.
Lionel.
All right. Yeah. And in terms of, is blogging going away? I don't think so at all. I think it does depend on the size of the company and where a company is at as to what the right tool is. But I think why a blog made sense for us is because it the purpose of a blog is to facilitate two-way discussion, and I think that's why from a corporate perspective, I think they're still going to be relevant and continue to be relevant for a while. I do think, you know, there'll be other tools that come out that, you know, that enable, you know, us to support customers in new ways. And frankly, I'm looking forward to those things. And you know, one of the things I think is key for us moving forward is internal collaboration. I mentioned before all the, you know, all the tools we've got, like, mm-hmm. you know, IdeaStorm and Direct to Dell and the forum and the information we're getting back from monitoring the blogosphere. Right now, those things are still, you know, kind of separate entities, and connecting the dots is what we spend a lot of manual time, trying to piece things together, you know, so that we're acting on the things that are important to our customers. And, you know, we're working on ways to, you know, to combine technologies, to automate that process a bit more so that we can see these trends as they're happening. You know, so Mario, you mentioned a wiki as a potential solution. That's one thing we're looking at now. You know, can we use a wiki, you know, to facilitate, you know, getting the right people looking at the same amount of information at the same time? I mean, one of my mantras for people that work with me every day know that I'm always saying, get it off of email, you know, because we're still relying too much on email to, you know, communicate where we are in the process of tracking against a big issue. And, you know, some of those issues can result in email threads that are, you know, 200 messages long. And it makes it very tough to stay on top of it and to ultimately communicate back to customers. And like I said before, we're all clear that, that getting that answer for customers is what we're doing this for. And, you know, I'm looking to find tools that will facilitate that end, better than what we've got right now.
Okay, that's all we've got. If any of you have any questions, I think they've got a microphone right over there and right over there. You can just go up to the microphone. Cammie had mentioned earlier she had a link set up with some social media metrics and measurement tools. It's at delicious.chat/south/sxsw2008. Yes, sir.
Me?
Yes, I'm sorry.
I can't see. Just making sure.
I've got a glare in my eye. Sorry about that.
My name is Ariel Meadow Stallings, and I blog with Microsoft Staffing. And I have a question. If you guys have any advice for, I've been blogging personally for 8 years. I got hired about a year ago to do this job. And I'm just curious if you have advice for negotiating, blending your personal blogger brand with this corporate blogger brand, because now all of a sudden I'm a mouthpiece for Microsoft and I'm used to representing brand Ariel, but yep. not necessarily integrating that with brand Microsoft. Any thoughts there?
Well, I could take the one because I'm wrestling with the same thoughts myself, because I had my marketing blog before, and that was one of the reasons for my being brought on to LinkedIn. So I think the best way that you can do it is sometimes what happens is a person is identified too closely with a company brand. And what's best for the company as well as for you because of the two brands that are at battle here is that you want the blog, or at least this is how we have fashioned the LinkedIn blog, is more about getting the product managers, the engineers, and the teams that create the features to talk directly to the users. So you may see, like, you know, a few posts from me, but for the most part, I'm trying to bring together these teams because that's what really matters. There is a great post by Hugh McLeod called The Porous Membrane, which is about the more porous is the membrane between your users and the teams, internal teams, the better it is for you. So my goal is to create that membrane, make it as aligned it is to user interest, and step out of the way. So, and what happens is it actually benefits you as well because you're not too identified with the Microsoft brand or the LinkedIn brand, and then you could continue working on your personal brand because that's equally important. I mean, we're talking about two important brands here, so that's how I manage it. And frankly, after I started editing and coordinating LinkedIn's blog, my personal blog has suffered a lot because of that. Because, there's only so much blogging you can do in a day. And so that would be my best take. And it's something that I'm struggling with as well.
Thank you.
Sure.
Over here.
Hi. I study employee blogs and people who are more your internal customers versus the external customers. And I was wondering if you could speak to, I've heard a lot of talk about how to get instantaneously respond to people who have concerns about products or issues in the organization who are customers and getting responding to them quickly. But a lot of the sites I look at, and I'll look like orangebadges.com, which are about contractors who work at Microsoft, and some Dell sites and radio sites. And one of the common complaints that I get on those sites is that they don't get any feedback. They don't seem like they seem to feel like in some cases the company doesn't respond to them, instead just dismisses them. And that may not be the case in your organizations. I was wondering, how do you integrate, like Direct to Dell, is there a site for employees also to have a forum and a feedback, or is that separate?
Yes, there is. So,
okay.
So we launched Direct to Dell first, and about a month after we launched Direct to Dell, we have our internal blog called One Dell Way. You know, and so, you know, it's structured very much like Direct to Dell. You know, wide variety of I mean, it you know, basically anything you know that's internally focused, we have you know topics and posts about. You know, so we have you know, that on the internal blog front. We have an internal version of IdeaStorm called Employee Storm. You know, so same. You know, basically, what we've done is replicated everything we're doing externally. We're doing internally as well.
You know, but that's not available to the public. Then.
Yep.
That's firewalled out.
Yep, exactly. That you know that is firewalled out. So I'm not sure. You know, that's one area that I haven't been involved in terms of you know Dell as a company reaching out to you know to you know contract sites. You know, my team is externally focused, so I'm not you know, privy to how they do those things or if they are. So I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's fine. Go ahead. I already got my chance, but yeah. I can add to
no,
what
I was going
to
say is that, again, my marine mammal park, that's actually how I started with them, was in internal communications. And a lot of the people in that group don't even have computer access. And so we have some issues with that, too. But we have Wave TV. We have a daily newsletter that goes out. We have a feedback mechanism. We have a SurveyMonkey survey to ask them what they want, and so we are constantly engaging with them in the channels, all the both social media and video and every other channel we can to bring them into that whole entire experience as well.
And just to add to that, I think this is back to the earlier example that I cited, which is I try to get away from the scene as far as possible because what we're trying to do is get the employee to respond to the customer or the user. But there is a challenge there, is that they are time constrained. So a lot of the times what happens is you got to set up the systems internally that enables them to respond as quickly as possible. So what I do, and this is manual and it is a pain, is once you get the comments, I send it over to them saying, could you respond to this? Apparently, you know, somebody is, because they don't follow it as closely as I would like them to, but the fact is that they don't have time. So if you could get them to write the blog post, and then if you could actually prod them to responding to these questions, I think that would be the best way to do it, and it is the simplest way to do it as well, but it's not easy.
Yeah, like note to entrepreneurs out there, we need internal management tools and VCs.
Over here.
I'm contemplating a career as a corporate blogger, and thank you for the useful information. The question that I have, you know, I've been out talking to people out of the fishbowl, and I've talked to some CEOs who see blogs as a useful search engine tool to drive traffic to their site. They don't have an online community. They're dealing with B2B type clients. Do you see any value in a blog to do that? I mean, it's kind of different than what you're doing.
Yeah, I would say it just depends on the company. You know, for us, if we did you know anything that was you know just a self-serving thing or not focused on our customers, then it wouldn't have worked. You know, we would have you know probably had the you know the shortest you know blog stint in history if we'd gone that path. So it really just depends. I think there are some you know some you mentioned B2B you know specialized B2B you know companies. It might make sense for you know for a company in that realm.
But and thought us, leadership.
But for us, it was definitely, you know, we knew we had to focus on our customers.
And I think that's kind of like the wrong reason to start a blog, because it's a good byproduct of your blog itself. But I think that taking the focus away from the users is going to hurt your blog. And it's not going to, in the long term, it's not going to get you the results that you look for.
So if the users aren't online, you really don't see value in a blog at all?
Personally, I don't. I think that what's really important is find where your users are and be there. For LinkedIn, it's very simple because a lot of our users are online. That's why we're there.
I somewhat disagree, though, because of the business-to-business angle. I mean, I come from that background, so I totally agree that the customer focus is really important. And what we're talking about here is a game-changing thing. But there is other reasons to have a blog because here's the thing. It's a publishing platform, okay? And it's not maybe really, maybe you don't call it a blog. Maybe you call it a news and information or a newsletter. But, you know, it's...
A corporate website.
Yeah, there's other things that we can use the publishing platform for. What we're talking about today is the cultural use of it, which is helping to change both the customer's perception and the corporate identity, really, in large part. You know, they're moving toward a new way of dealing with customers.
Thank you.
Over here.
So based on that, a lot of companies actually, though, use blogs mostly as marketing and promotional tools and not really for the customers. So I want to tie that into something I heard earlier in the panel about the anticipation of negative responses and the fears that companies can have about opening it up when it's really supposed to be a marketing channel. And I work to try to find companies that are doing that and target them and bring people to shut down and dismantle their social networking and blog presence in a way to attack their brand when companies are doing things that we don't think are morally right. And so I'm interested if you could tell me a little bit more about the lines that companies really see as what are these fears and how can I maybe trigger them. And I've had some success shutting down bigger blogs and making people turn off interactive comments when they're not being authentic. But I'm wondering if you have any insights into what people are genuinely afraid of in this corporate world. What is the fear there?
Let me take a stab at it. I think that's really important because what's at stake here is a brand of an organization or a corporation. And look at it as your personal brand. Let's assume that you have a personal brand. You're out there with your blog. I do have my blog as well. And imagine being targeted by, you know, Flamer, for example, on your blog. Now, it could be legitimate. It could be, you know, indiscriminate. But I think speaking from a corporation's point of view, I think that's where the initial fear is, so to speak. And, you know, again, going back to that, like, for example, recently we had a blog, and we have taken the plunge. So once you take the plunge, there's no turning back, and we have. And once you take the plunge, like recently there were a few product features, and there were a lot of comments that are negative, for example. Now, here's the interesting story. Now, the product already has a roadmap, and there were certain features that were to be implemented a few weeks from now. And since the users don't get to see the larger picture, what happens is they have, like, why isn't this here A or B or C? The fact is that it's going to be there, right there. And when that's the case, there has to be an authentic response. And again, as I said, there's still work in progress. You do need to assign the right resources in order to do that. But to answer your question, that's generally the fear that originates from within corporations. And Lionel could add to that if there are others.
Yeah, I would say that's really the main thing that we heard in the beginning is, you know, why are we going to advertise, you know, negative things to our competitors? You know, and you know, for us it was easy. You know, when you're looking at the blogosphere and you see half of the commentary about Dell is negative, you know, it's happening. Whether we do anything about it or not, it's happening. And from our point of view, it was much better to have a blog where people could centralize and we could focus on what the core problems were and address them. You know, it's been much more beneficial to have a blog in that capacity and to bring some of those outside conversations in. You know, and you know, just an anecdote about where the fear is and how it manifests itself. You know, we launched the blog on July 10th in 2006. On July 13th, you know, I did a blog post about the exploding laptop in Osaka. And in that post, I linked to Engadget. And within minutes of me publishing that post, you know, I got phone calls, I got emails, I got, you know, people coming up to my cube. And their response was, "What the heck are you doing?" And my response to that is, "Hey, this conversation is happening. It's out there. It's, you know, there is a lot of conversation happening about this. People expect us to say something about it." And with that first post, all I said is, you know, we're aware of this. We see the discussions. We're listening. We're also working on the issue. We'll let you know more when we have more details to share. And ultimately, that led to the battery recall. And we used the blog, you know, as a mechanism to facilitate customers through that process. You know, so, you know, yes, in the beginning, it looked like it was a negative thing. You know, but when you look at what happened after the fact, you know, we had a documented process by which we communicated with our customers on a regular basis. And, you know, we had, I think there were, you know, were 9 or 10 other companies that followed after Dell with a battery recall. And, you know, so initially it looked like a big negative that we're advertising to the world. Well, you know, we were able to use social media to show we're actually leading this charge and we're doing the right thing for our customers. And when you can show people that you're closing that loop, that allays a lot of the fears that corporations have, I think.
Let's try to quickly get one more in over here.
Real fast. Hi, I'm Adam Metz from Launch Squad and Metz Smash, a social media blog. Real quick one, actually. This may pertain a little more to Mario and to Lionel, but it's about benchmarks for blog readership within B2B social networks or emergent vertical communities. Let's say you have a social network. Do you have some rough benchmark of what percentage of the people in that social network would typically or should typically be reading the blog written by that social network? Like 1% of the members, 10% of the members?
Do you have numbers on that?
Nope, I don't. You know, frankly, I mean, we look at any number of sites, you know, wherever our users are collecting. So we've got, you know, we have people that look at Facebook and LiveWorld and other places where people are collecting. But I don't have metrics in place to say, hey, are we capturing a subset of this audience? You know, I'm not really worried about that. What I do watch is, you know, how many people are reading the blog. You know, what topics are most important. You know, which blog posts are getting the most traffic overall, because that's an indicator that people are interested in that part of the conversation. And that's really what we focus on most of our metrics on.
Okay, guys, I think that's going to do it. If we didn't get to your question, feel free to come up here and talk to us afterwards. We'll be happy to do it. Thank you guys so much for coming. We really appreciate it.